ut alt det som her. Så dette her det ble mottatt av meg som en veldig spesiell oppgave. Men dere ser at jeg skrevet der det på engelsk. Og det fordi alt jeg skriver og alt jeg tenker i forhold til min PhD på engelsk. Så når jeg prøvde å tenke på dette her på norsk, så var det så vanskelig. Så, is it okay if I speak in English? Most of you understand English. And if you have any questions, just say it in Norwegian, if you feel a little bit unsure. I understand what you say. It's mostly because for me it's easier, more fluently, to talk about these issues in English. Okay? And not even in Spanish. Like, I was trying to talk about this in Spanish, and I was not able to say it. So, yeah. So that's the reason why I will be speaking in English. But if you have any questions, just say it in Norwegian and it's going to be completely okay. Okay? Right. So the title is Decision Making and Thinking in Sustainable Development. So that's kind of like the things I am most concerned and most interested in is decision making and sustainable development. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So I'm going to say a little bit about sustainable development, going to go through a little bit about the literature. So we have a kind of like an overview what sustainable development is. Most of you already have any idea of what is that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about decision making and rationality, which is something that maybe you have read a little bit in other lectures. I'm not going to go in detail, I'm just going to talk very briefly. And then I'm going to put them together. And then I'm going to tell you what's the next step in my PhD, which is the most important one. And maybe you want to participate in that one. That would be very good. Okay, so let's start to understand or to reflect about why sustainable development is important. Why do you think it's important? Why do you think the Sustainable Development Goals, why do you think we have a master here that is called Sustainable Manufacturing? When you say I am interested in sustainable development, why do you think it's important? You don't think it's important? It's important? But why? Yes, resources, right? Mm-hmm. So when we look at this graph is population over 12,000 years. It's a little bit estimated because we don't know for sure how many people were here. But we have some estimations. Hi. So we see that something happened in the last years. Don't you see that? It's like, Jesus, how much we have grown in so short time, right? And then when you look at the data from the United Nations, this is real data, right? So now in 2010, this is the last data, is 6.9 billion people, right? And then they estimate that to 2100, it will be 10 billion, right? So we're like way too many people, right? But is that a problem or is it okay? What do you think? When we think about what you say about the resources. Exactly. Food. I mean, like, so many people. Who is going to make food for that many people? And water. It's very good that you talk about water. Look and see at the per capita use of water in the world. And here is something that is also very important when we are so many, and it's inequality. Because look, the people in the United States, how much water they use? 215 cubic meters per year, one person. But look at the people in Mali, only four, right? So we have people that use a lot, and we have people that use a little. And it's not because the people in the United States like to shower more often or they are more thirsty, right? It's because they have more infrastructure right? They have more access, easy access to water, right? And they also have more industrialized, and they have more agriculture. Why do I say that? Because, look, this is the way they consume the water. So you see, normally, all the water that we use, 70% is in agriculture, right? So, and then when we think about so many people, so many resources, how much food we're going to have, and then how much water do we need to produce all that food, right? And then look at the inequality. The low-income and middle countries, which is Mali, one of those, 82% is for agriculture. And then here, in the high-income countries, we use it a little bit different. So that's another challenge, and is that we don't use it the same way, so it's not like we can just come up with one solution for everybody, right? Look at the water stress in the world. Water stress is how much water do we need divided by how much water do we actually have, right? And they say that if it's above 40%, you are in a red zone, right? Most of the African countries, look, this was in 1995, and this is expected in 2025. So we see already that we're not having enough water already for these people. We are lucky in Norway. We have a lot of water here. Maybe that's going to be the next oil. Maybe in the future we will just sell water, because that's going to be an issue. It is an issue already in many places. Let's look at this one, the CO2 emissions. This is a very controversial topic, I know, and sometimes it's as even though a religious topic, because so many people do not believe in climate change. So we can have another lecture about that one, if you're interested. Huh? But just look at the numbers. I mean, just look at the numbers. How much we are emitting today in comparison to what we emit yesterday. Not yesterday, but before, right? And what does this mean? I mean, is it okay to have so much CO2 in the atmosphere? I mean, like, why should we worry about that? What do you think? Is it okay to have so much CO2 in the atmosphere? No? Why? Does that CO2 make something that is dangerous? What? Well, the thing with CO2 is that it doesn't allow the heat to go out, right? So when the sun warms, he sends his rays to the earth, right? And then the earth uses that energy. But some of that energy needs to go away, right? It cannot stay in the earth. But because there is so much CO2 in the atmosphere, it kind of creates isolation, right? So the heat stays here. And the problem with that is that the temperature rises, right? And for us here in Norway, that's awesome. Because we have October days, 25 degrees, and that's cool, right? But it has some problems because it changed the environment of other countries as well, right? And then some countries have problems to produce food. And if they don't produce food, who's going to feed all these people, right? So you start seeing the connections, right? Let's look at this graph. This is the temperature changes. You see that is moving upwards? And this is not, I mean, like, I understand many people that don't believe in climate change, right? Like, we need to be tolerant. We need to see different perspectives. But this is facts. I mean, it is getting warmer. Whatever it is, the reason, it is getting warmer. And we know that has some consequences. right? So now again, why is sustainable development important? Tell me something. Now I told you something. Well, now tell me, what do you think? Is this important or not? Right? Well, I don't want to scare you, but maybe a little bit, right? But we see that there are things that are happening, right? We see that we're start being more in this little planet, right? And we see that there are some limits in this planet. At least we believe so, right? There is not unlimited water. It's the water it is, right? Is the fish it is, right? Is the land it is, right? Maybe it's less land if the sea level rises, right? So there are signs to be concerned about something happening, right? And that's why they start talking about sustainable development, right? And they start, that's nothing new. I mean, like, there is this guy called Malthus. In 1800, he started talking about that population was growing geometrically and that the food production was growing arithmetically and that we were not going to be able to produce enough food, right? His predictions were wrong because technology was able to come up with new ways to produce. And we actually are living in an era where we produce so much food, right? But then the kind of like discourse about we consuming too much start being in the background, right? And then in the 1960s, the Club of Rome wrote this or sponsored this very well-known book that is called The Limits of Growth. Have you heard about that book? Well, if you want to be scared, read it. I don't want to scare you, but it's actually a very good read. There has been several updates, so you can choose to read the last one if you want, but the discourse is the same. So they use a system dynamics model that recreates the whole world with all the resources we have, and then they put the population growth, and then they see how much is it that we're going to need with so many people, right? And then they identify that there are reasons to be a little bit, not scared, but to do something about it, because we don't have enough resources, right? So that's what they say in the 1960s. And then the discourse starts kind of like moving on. And then it comes the Bertrand Report, right? Gru, you know her? From APE? She came up, not she, but a group of people led by her, they came up with this one that is called Our Common Future. And that is kind of like one of the first documents that talk about sustainable development as we more or less understand it today, right? This is in the 70s, right? And then we move, and then more books are written, and more agreements are done, and then everybody starts talking about sustainable development, and then come up with the Millennium Development Goals, right? Have you heard about those? The Millennium Development Goals were these rich countries come together and then they go to the poor countries and say, oh, you are so undeveloped. You should do this and this and this and this to become better, right? Those are the Millennium Development Goals. I mean, like my view. And then they say for 2015, I think it was the date, or 2014, you are going to have these goals, eliminate poverty, I don't remember all of them. They were, I think, 8. And then we're going to give you money, and you're going to work towards that, right? So now the time has passed. Some goals were rich. Some goals were not rich, but the one that was the most rich was poverty, right? Because of China. Because China has grown up a lot, and it was able to move a lot of people from extreme poverty to medium income, right? And then after the Millennium Development Goals came the Sustainable Development Goals, which is what we have now. They came up last year, right? So you see this progression of the understanding of why this is important, right? So, and if you look at the literature, it's kind of like a lot of discussion, right? And if you see an economist writing about sustainable development, he has a complete different understanding of what an environmentalist is saying, right? So we can say that some of the literature try to describe the history of the term, its origins, which is what I have just tell you, more or less, right? Others try to compile what is sustainable development, what does it mean, right? And those publications are very interesting because there are so many definitions. And actually, if I ask you, each of you, what is sustainable development, I think we will come up with so many different definitions, right? We will look a little bit more about that afterwards. So I think in one of the papers I have read, it was one that says there is about 400 different definitions, right? And they are all have their own twist according to the mental model, the background where you're coming from, right? We also see philosophical approach, right? So the philosophers come and try to explain what is sustainable development from different schools of thought, right? So the phenomenological tool, why we care, the linguistic part, right? So they also come and try to explain what it is. Then it comes the scientist, and they say, no way. Sustainable development should be a science, because we need to use the scientific method, which is what I teach you last year, in order to solve this problem, right? And why do they want to do that? Because with the scientific method, we can document it. What we do. We have a problem, we document it, we look for the facts, and when we have the solution, right? That's what they say. So then we have the science and the scientific paradigm of sustainable development. And then they come up with models, right? So remember we saw how the models come up from the theory, that the models help us understand the real life in a very simple way. So that's what they're trying to do. So they come up with the triple bottom model. Have you heard about that one? TBL. Which says that sustainable development has three main pillars, right? The environment, the society, and the economy. And they all three interact with each other, right? Which is like pretty much what we understand now for sustainable development. But then other scientists came up and say, no way, hold on. You're missing things there, right? So we have other models like the four tires, something like that, that says, yeah, you have the three pillars, but then they move on time, right? So you need to have a three dimensions model, right? Or there is another one that says, no, you need to add governance, because that's another pillar, right? And then I say, no, understand it as a chair that has three legs, right? So everybody is really trying to understand what is sustainable development. And then there are different levels of perception, right? Why is that? Because when we think about the whole world, we need to think about an aggregated solution, right? But it's different when we start scaling down, right? So when we think about the country, the region, the organization, the individual, right? So what I do as an individual for sustainable development, what are you guys doing? Nothing? Like, for example, bicycling? I know some of you bicycle. At least not now, but I know some of you bicycle in the summer, right? That's contributing to that, right? Or when you go out and help somebody that needs something, right? Because we're trying to help society, right? So every little thing can be understood as a sustainable development according to the level where you are, right? And then there are other different perspectives. Like, for example, we have sustainable manufacturing, which is the master, right, that we have here. And what do they try to do? You didn't know about it? Well, I can't, you can come and we can show you about that. It's a master that we have here. It's called sustainable manufacturing. And it's aim to produce in a sustainable way, right? So we look at materials, we look at the process, we look at life cycle assessment. What is life cycle assessment? Have you heard about that? It's when you are producing a new product, right? Then you think not only about the process until you produce it, but you think about the life that product is going to have after it goes out of the fabric. And when it dies, what is going to happen with that one, right? So that's called life cycle. Then we also have, for example, sustainable agriculture, right? That talks about organic foods, not using fertilizers, so on and so forth. Use less water, more energy, right? We also have sustainable governments. We have pretty much everything. Sustainable corporation, right? Sustainable communities. Sustainable cities, sustainable individuals, right? So there are also different levels of perception. And then we have the practitioners. And the practitioners, there is a typo there, are the people that they don't care about what is about defining sustainable development, right? They are not here with these people, with the theoretical people. They say, I don't care. Right? I don't need to agree what sustainable development is. I'm just going to do something about it because I'm so scared. Right? Then they say, I am going to cycle to work every day. Right? I am going to produce this new plastic product that uses this type of material that can be recycled. Right? I don't care what do you mean by sustainable development. I just care about this, right? Those are the practitioners. Then we come to the people that try to measure sustainable development, right? I am one of those. We love data, and we love indicators, and we love everything that tell us how are we now, how can we go there, and what is the path to that, right? So we have the Sustainable Development Goals, for example. Later in the lecture, I'm going to show you a little tool that we use for that, which is very funny. And then we have them, and then we say, okay, we're going to reduce poverty, right? Why poverty is important for sustainable development? What do you think? No? Okay, think about that one. Why is poverty important for sustainable development? That's one of the goals. They want to reduce extreme poverty, right? So they have all these indicators that tell us how many poor people, extreme poor people are in the world and in the regions, and then they are going to measure it every 2 years, I think, to see if they are going to reach the goal to 2030, right? Or we have the people that try to measure sustainable development in the companies, which is called Sustainable Development Performance Assessment. That's a cool name, isn't it? And what they do is that they go to the fabric or to the office, and then they try to see indicators of sustainable development according to the three pillars, right? So let's say, are you happy at work, right? Do we have some investments that help society? Right? Are we consuming less energy, right? So they want to measure things. They want to know where we are and where do we want to go in terms of numbers or data. And then we have the precautionary principle. I think I should talk a little bit more about the precautionary principle, but I will do it later. My point is that all these things are approaches to understand the what and the how, right? What is sustainable development and how are we going to do it? But not that many are talking about the why, right? We take it for granted. Nobody is talking about that. And the reason why not that many people is talking about that is because pretty much everybody agrees. Like when I ask you, why is sustainable development important? You didn't know exactly why, but you kind of like agree about me that I didn't even ask you, do you think it's important? I tell you why it's important. Did you say that? Right? We take it for granted. And that is something interesting. Why is everybody agreeing about that? But there is so much disagreement about the what and the hows. Right? So I started looking at that. And I say, I need to understand why. What is the core of this? What is behind sustainable development? And I came up with this, which is basically what they are saying in the book of The Limits to Growth. What are they saying is, that is going to be an overshoot and collapse. Right? What does that mean? It means that there is a carrying capacity. Hi. There is a carrying capacity in the system, right? So we have so much cubic meters of water. We have so much hectares for land that we can produce food. We have so much oil, so much fish, right? And then we use it. And we use it, and we use it, and we use it until we start depleting it. Because it's not, we are using it at a rate that is higher than it can grow, right? So imagine that you have a plant in your house, and the plant grows 1 centimeter every year, but you are eating 1.5 every year. How long is that plant going to last? Not that long, right? So that's what they are saying. And then what they are saying is that this carrying capacity is going to decrease so much that it's going to be a collapse. Those 10 billion people, it's not going to be food for so many people and somebody has to die of hunger. Or we're not going to have enough water to be clean enough. So a bacteria is going to come up and kill so many people, right? That's what they are saying. And what does it create? What do you feel when I tell you that people is going to die because of hunger? My reaction is to be scared. I get scared because there is a harm on humanity because of these things. Because of the data I show you about the water, about the agriculture, right? So, my theory is that the reason why everybody agrees about that is because we are scared of that harm that they are telling us that is going to happen. And it's not that they are only telling us that. The data, the facts are showing those things. So somehow we know this is important. We don't know exactly why, but we know it's important. But do you think that we know this is important because of the damage we're doing to the planet? Or because the damage that is going to happen to us? What do we care more about? The animal or us? What do you think? You don't think anything? I know you know the answer. Tell me. Us, right? So, at the core of all this is that we are scared that humanity, civilization, as we know it today, is in jeopardy. Something is going to happen. We don't know exactly what, that is going to change in a drastic way the way we live now. And we like the way we live now. So we want to try to keep it as it is or improve it, but not collapse, right? Let me see if I have time for the next part. So, 10 minutes more and then we have a break. So, when we understand the why, when we understand why we agree about this, then we can talk about the what, right? And then I'm just using one of the 400 definitions that exist. And I'm using this one because this one is the most cited one. This one is the one that pretty much everybody uses when they want to be formal about sustainable development. And then what they usually do is that they take this one and they kind of like customize it to their needs, right? But let's see it. Let's see it. Development that meets the needs of the present, today. Civilization as we know it today, because we like it. Without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Resources, right? So let's just not consume everything today, so there is a little bit left for the ones that are coming in the future. That's what they are telling us, right? Now, this particular definition is very controversial, as almost everything in sustainable development, right? Why? Because it's very general. So pretty much everybody agrees, right? But when you go to the details of how to do this, then it's very difficult because it's so general. So what do you mean by needs? Right? What are the needs of Norwegians compared to the needs of the people in Mali? Or the people in Syria? Or the people in Colombia? Right? And future generations. How many generations? Like one, two, three? Right? So, there are many things we can talk about this, but I want us to focus in one. The future, right? What is the future? So, now we need to talk a little bit more because the pausa is programmed, right? So, the future. The future is a key concept here. Because as sustainable development is so particular to every person, the future is also very particular, right? When is the future in sustainable development, right? So, for example, the sustainable development goals, which is the cool thing now, it has a time frame of 15 years, right? So for them, the future is 2030, right? But then you look at sustainable development in the companies. What are they seeing? What are they doing about sustainable development? Some of them have sustainable development plans, right? And it's no more than 5 years. 2 to 5 years. The life cycle assessment that I was talking about. Some products are months. Other products are years. We have something that is called weak sustainability, which is kind of like one of the models of sustainable development. And for them, the future is in 30 to 50 years, right? But then we have strong sustainability. And for them, the future is 150 to 200 years. So when is the future? I mean, like tomorrow or 200 years, right? And then when we go to the organization, sustainable development gets even more complex. Because when you ask a country to think in the long term, it's a little bit easy, right? Because the institutions, they need to think about the long term, the future generations, right? But a company, and you guys are going to go out there and work with those companies, they do care about the future, but the future for them means a little bit different things, right? So the next quarter results are very important. The budget for the next year is very important, right? But now we are asking them to think in the long term, right? So they need to keep showing results tomorrow, in 1 month, the next year, but at the same time, they need to think about the next 20 to 30 years or 200 years. See? So sustainable development in the organization is particularly complex because of that. If we only look at the future or at the time frame, right? So before we go to break, I want us to make a little mental exercise. Right? Do you want to do it? Okay. So, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Right? Do not sleep, just close your eyes. Right? Now, imagine yourself 2 hours from now. What were you going to be? Where are you going to do? What are you going to eat? Right? The lunch in the cafeteria. The next exam that you have to study. Now, think about yourself tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. In Wednesdays, I do this and that. I have to deliver this and that. Tomorrow, right? Now, think about yourself next week. What are you going to do next week? Where are you? What are you eating? Then think about yourself in 1 year. Where are you 1 year from now? Then go ahead and think about yourself in 5 years. Are you married? Do you have kids? Or are you working in that company that you want so much? Are you traveling to that country that you always wanted? Are you speaking this other language? Now go ahead and think about yourself in 20 years from now. How old are you? 40? 50? What are you doing? What are you eating? Can you go so much in detail? Now, think about yourself in 150 years from now. Where are you? You're dead. Pretty much, right? So now open your eyes and think. Was it difficult to think about yourself so long in the future? Why do you think is that? Well, it turns out that there is people that have studied that. And we humans are wired to give more value to the present than to the future. So they run some experiments, these people, Lowenstein, Thaler, and Rolf Sma. They run some experiments and they ask people to give value to money today and to give value to money on 10 years. And they all have this thing. They give more value to the present than to the future. Now, it doesn't mean that we are stupid. Like I myself believe we humans are so smart, right? It's just something that we have developed. That's just how we think, right? Or what do you think? You think we're stupid? Just because we think like that? But what does that mean? We have this problem that we know it has some consequences, like in 100 years, right? But at the same time, we know we cannot think in 100 years from now. So does that mean that can we make rational decisions when we think in sustainable development? Now, we take a break, and then you think about that question, and then I will give you the answer. No, I will not give you the answer, but I will give you what I think about that, okay? So do you normally take 15, 10? What's the... Right. So I'll see you in 15.